down and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewed out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, observed where he was laid. So Joseph took up courage to ask for Pilate for the body of Christ, because he decided he wanted a proper burial. So now, who was Joseph of Arimathea? He was a wealthy and had a great reputation with the members of Jerusalem. He was a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin. And while being of the Sanhedrin, he didn't approve of the decision to put Jesus to death. And in chapter 23 of Luke, verses 50 through 51, it says, "Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good man and just man, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision. Indeed, he was from Arimathea, a city of Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God." We see here that Joseph believed in Jesus and was personally waiting for the kingdom of God to come. I also did found in John 19:38. And it says, "After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he may take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took the body away." And we see here that Joseph had been a secret disciple of Jesus' teachings, but he feared the Jewish soldiers up to that point. Up to that point, he lacked some courage to show his beliefs. And after witnessing the death of Christ on the cross, Joseph gathered all the courage he could muster and went to Pilate. Now, Joseph risked many things going to Pilate asking for this. His request would most likely be denied on the principle that Jesus was executed for treason. And he risked ceremonial deferment in handling of a dead body, which was against the law back then. And his request proved and was basically an open confession of Joseph's personal loyalty to Jesus and God. Joseph showed courage for requesting a proper burial for Christ, with Joseph being a good example of courage. Jesus is probably the greatest example of courage, because Jesus followed God's will no matter what, even to the death of him. Now, where did this courage from? Their courage came from through the faith they had in God. Even though God calls us to be courageous, He also wants us to be encouragers too. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, it says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So, in conclusion, he says we should encourage one another in our daily lives, and we should have courage in our faith in our daily lives, witnessing to other people. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Let's see if I can get organized here. Okay, today I will be talking about the end times. I was paging through my Bible, and I thought I should talk about it. The title of my sermon is Be Prepared, The End is Near. Today we will be looking at some of the signs that tell us the end is near, how we should respond, and how we can be prepared. But first, I would like to have prayer. If you bow your heads with me. Dear God, please bless the service today. Help my sermon glorify you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me say what needs to be said. We love you. Amen. So now it brings me to my first point. What signs are given for us to know the end is near? Please turn your Bibles to Matthew 24, 3-14. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him, privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And all these are just the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many of you will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations. And then the end will come." Okay, now that we've read through the verses, Jesus gave his final warning to his disciples and gave them the signs to know what to expect. From these verses, here are some of the signs. There will be false prophets in verse 5. "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and I will deceive many." So, in today's world, there are many religions that teach the opposite of what the Bible teaches. Some religions teach gay marriage, for example. There is also atheism, which is the total opposite of what we believe. It's just not believing in God. And there's evolution. I mean, some people think we came from monkeys. I mean, I don't think I did, but some people think that. I mean, some people like him maybe look like a monkey, but... So... It brings me to verses 6 and 7, and it says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." And I'm going to stop there. And basically it says there, we're going to hear of wars. Nations are going to fight against each other. Which brings me to what happens in today's world. I mean, there are terrorist attacks a lot. I mean... Almost daily, sometimes, there's always a terrorist attack. People killing each other. I mean, people think they can kill a bunch of Christians, and it's just going to stop people worshiping God, but it's not. I mean, right as we speak, there's fighting going on over in the Middle East, in Asia, everywhere. I mean, there are endless wars. And in verse 7, it says, "And there will be famines." So, in famines, there are going to be, I mean, there's... There are countries without food. There are countries without water. There are countries that are in desperate need of everything. And it says there will be pestilences. I mean, there is cancer, which is the incurable disease. There is disease outbreaks and other terrible sicknesses. And it says, and earthquakes in various places. Earthquakes have occurred basically everywhere. I mean, they've occurred in Rome, Campania, Jerusalem, and tons of other places. I mean, even here in the United States, they happen. About 1.5 million earthquakes happen annually. These have a magnitude of 2 or greater. And then, in verse 8, Jesus says, "And all these are the beginning of sorrows." I mean, that's just the beginning. And 9 through 10, it says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many of you will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." So basically, they're going to kill each other. You're going to get killed, you're going to get betrayed, you're going to get persecuted. And then, again, in verse 11, it mentions false prophets. As we look at all these signs that Jesus has given us, we look back to when he said this. These things were happening back then, but not as bad as they're happening now. Things have escalated to a terribly unbelievable point. In verse 14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come." Has there ever been a time in history that an event can happen on the other side of the world and we can know about it in 5 minutes? Even 50 years ago, communications weren't this good. I can shoot a text to someone in China and they can get it in less than a minute. And with all this new technology, spreading the good news is way easier than it was before. I mean, it's happening right now. More than it has happened in the history of the entire world. So we need to be prepared. But how should we respond to all this? We need to repent and be baptized. That way you can be filled with the Spirit and understand what God is telling us through his word. In all the prophecies, John, Paul, Peter, and others encourage us to prepare ourselves for the end of the age. Here are some of their suggestions. So we'll turn to Matthew 24:6, which we should be at. And it says, "You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." They're saying there that we should not be alarmed. We should be ready. And we'll turn to Luke 21:20. "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know its desolation is near. A lot of nations are already risen against Israel. But when we see all of the nations up against Israel, then we'll know the end is coming. We'll know the end is very near. Its desolation is near." And Mark 13:23. Let's see here. It says, "But take heed. See, I have told you these things beforehand." It means, I read it in another version, it says, "Be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time." God told us already, so we could be ready when it comes. Matthew 24:4 again. I probably could have read that one while it was there, but it says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you." You don't want people deceiving you. I mean, people are going to come up and say, "I'm God." And they're not God. We know that. We know better than that. They're not God. We need to take heed that. Just be aware, because there are people that are going to try and deceive you. Finally, if we turn to Luke 21:34-36. Okay, it says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down by carousing drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." In another version it says, "You must be vigilant at all times, praying that you may be strong enough to come safely through all that is going to happen, and stand in the presence of the Son of Man." You need to be on your guard again. So, to sum it up, we've looked at some of the clear signs that the end is near. 1, false prophets. 2, wars and rumors of wars. 3, famines. 4, pestilences. And finally, 5, earthquakes. We have also examined how Jesus wants us to respond to these signs. We can know how Jesus wants us to respond by simply reading our Bible. And the best way to respond to these signs and God's calling is to repent and be baptized, because then you will know that you can have no worries. When the end comes, you can know that you will be raised up to meet him in the air. Lastly, we need to spread the word. And I leave you with this. Matthew 24:14. Says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come." Are you spreading the word? Are you ready? Have you heard God's calling? Be sure that the day does not sneak up on you like a thief in the night, because no one knows the day or hour Christ will come. Thank you. Have a blessed Sabbath.